Hey friend, you're listening to Truth Talks with Tara, a podcast dedicated to helping you know, love, and live God's Word. I'm your host, Tara, and I am so glad that you're here. Each week, we'll dive into scripture together. We'll answer questions we all have about the Bible and about how to live for God, as well as learn from some of my amazing friends and guests. If you want to see how God's Word can truly change your everyday life, this show is for you. My prayer is that we would all grow in our knowledge of God so that we can live boldly for Him. So, what do you say? Let's get into it. You're in for a treat today, friends. I am so thrilled to introduce my literary agent, the one who I affectionately call my book mom, the one who, if I didn't have her, this book, Surrender Your Story, that just launched my first book on March 7th, it would literally not be here without her. And so I got her on the podcast today. We had an interview talking all about the publishing process, what an agent does, and just a behind the scenes on what it looked like to publish Surrender Your Story from start to finish. So if you're curious, if you want to hear more about the process, or if you have a desire within your heart to write someday or whatever that looks like, I think you'll be encouraged and equipped by this conversation, and you will just fall in love with Teresa like I did. So stay tuned, and remember, you can get a copy of Surrender Your Story, Ditch the Myth of Control, and Discover Freedom in Trusting God, my first book that's been out in the world for about 2 weeks. You can get a copy of it anywhere books are sold now. You don't have to wait anymore. I'd love to start the journey of surrender with you. So without further ado, here is my conversation with Teresa. Well, everyone, we have a really fun episode for you today. I have my literary agent who played an integral role in publishing Surrender Your Story. Teresa, thank you so much for taking the time and having this phone call and this interview. I'm really excited for people to learn from you and get to see a little sneak peek into publishing. So before we get into the conversation, will you introduce yourself and what you do?
Yeah, Tara, I'm so glad to be here. Thank you for asking me. I feel very privileged and honored to be on your podcast. Again, my name is Teresa Evenson. I am a literary agent with the William K. Jensen Literary Agency. I have been an agent since 2014, so I don't know, 7-8 years going on. But I've actually been in the publishing industry since 1991. So it's hard to believe, but almost over 30 years. But I love being an agent and love working with authors like you.
Yeah, and you have a fun background in PR and publicity, and you've done a lot of marketing. You've done a lot of different areas that have, I believe, really helped you do what you do today. So I'm excited to talk all about that. But fun fact for those listening, we'll get into this, but Teresa and I used to live not too far away from each other. She recently moved, but it's not likely, or it's not very common to have people, at least for me, because I live in Oregon, to have people close to me in the publishing world. Everyone lives in the South or the Midwest. And so it was a pretty cool God thing how we met. But let's talk about, first of all, how we met and how this whole thing kind of got started. Teresa, when was the first time, if you could share with our friends listening, like that we got in contact and how that really happened?
Yeah. Well, it was about 2 years ago, because I remember you had just gotten married. I think you were married just 1 month when we met for coffee. And another author that I represent had been on your podcast. And so this author called me and said, Teresa, I was just on this podcast and I really liked Tara. She was very deep biblically and just sound as far as sharing the word of God with young women. She said, I think you're going to really like her. I think you should investigate her. Excuse me. So I did. So I started looking up your Instagram, and agents will do their own research. And I listened to your podcast too. And I liked what I saw. And so I reached out to you, and then we met for coffee.
Yeah. Yeah. So that was really a sweet connection. It was actually Gretchen Saffels who was on, a year and a half ago. It was a while ago that we had that conversation, and I remember talking to Gretchen because she was in the thick of doing PR and podcasts for her book that was coming out. And I remember asking her, I'm like, okay, tell me about publishing. I was really intrigued because the Lord had kind of started opening the doors, but I had no clue what to do. And so she's like, you should look into an agent. And I had heard about literary agents before. You hear about agents in like, you know, the movie, like the film world, but I just didn't know what that was. And so it was incredible to be able to connect with Teresa, because for someone who had no clue what I was doing, I'm like needing an advocate and needing someone that not only knew the publishing world, but got the book and was biblically sound, and we could get along. And I'm so glad to find that in you. But for those listening, Teresa, so, okay, I'm sure maybe people have heard about what an agent is, but how would you describe what a literary agent does, and what's the advantage of having one versus trying to attempt this on your own?
Well, a literary agent, the best way is to say we're the gatekeepers or the doorkeeper to the publishing world, to publishers, meaning there's not very many publishers that will accept a proposal or a manuscript without an author, without it coming through an agent. An author cannot just send a proposal to a publisher. They won't accept it.
Right.
So we are the gatekeepers. I try and tell people that we're kind of like a real estate agent. Like for 2 years, I tried to sell my own house. I love my own house. And I tried to sell it for sale by owner. And it just sat on the market. I thought, that's so cute. It was adorable. And everybody would want it. But then I just wasn't getting the traffic.
Yeah.
And then as soon as I signed with a real estate agent, I sold my house, or my house sold in 3 weeks.
Wow.
So the realtor brought the traffic to my home. What a literary agent does is get more eyes on your manuscript.
Right.
We bring traffic from editors and publishers to let them see it, read it, and get excited about it. So that's what I say. I say a literary agent is the gatekeeper to the publishers.
Yeah. Would you say that it also just brings credibility in a way, especially for first-time authors who, number one, have no idea what they're doing, and then number two, just are fresh and new to the whole scene? Because why would you – I mean, is it maybe the credibility part that publishers usually like working with an agent more than just the author directly?
Yeah, it definitely gives you credibility, Tara, because an agent isn't going to sign you or sign an author unless we can sell them.
Right.
So I'm not going to sign or take on a project unless I see potential in you.
Yeah.
So I'm looking for a great idea. I'm looking for a great writer, and then someone that has platform.
Yeah.
And that's the ugly side of publishing, is that you really have to have an established audience. And established, they want to make sure that when you publish the book, that you have this audience ready to buy the book, that there's a demand for what you're doing. And I also want to say, this is so important for young writers to understand, that your book is secondary to your ministry.
Mm.
So you should already be doing something. You should already be, and that's, Tara, what I loved about you. You already had this ministry of teaching women to know God, to love God, and then to live for Him.
Yeah.
And I was taken back. I just want to tell you, I was so impressed. I was taken back with your youth. There's not very many women in their mid-20s that had the depth and the knowledge of the word that you had. I mean, heck, I don't know, 30-year-olds and 40-year-olds that are studying God's word to the depth of what they want to. They're teaching women to take up their cross and to be self-sacrificial, to die to yourself daily. And what does that mean? What does that look like, to die to yourself? And that's what you were investigating. And that's what got my attention. It was a counterculture message that you were teaching and proclaiming. It was totally against everything that we're hearing in our culture.
Yeah.
So it intrigued me. It fascinated me. And you had a platform at the time. It was pretty substantial.
I'm trying to remember. So where it was at.
It was like 60,000 or more. Now it's even grown, I think, to over 80. But you were already doing something. And so the book is a byproduct of what you're already doing.
Right.
Say like the greatest generation there ever was. They did something and then the book comes after it.
Right, right.
So that's what I would encourage authors to do. Have a ministry, be making your mark. You're helping people and the book is secondary to what you're already doing.
I really appreciate that you said that, Teresa, because there are so many people who listen to the podcast that are in ministry or have a desire to write, you know, no matter where they're at. And like you said, it's the ugly truth, but if it's something that you feel like God has laid on your heart to pursue or something you even want to try, these are steps that we have to do. But it has to be out of the motivation of, first of all, helping people and helping them come to a knowledge of the Lord, and not from the motivation of, I just want to do this, so I'm going to have to take these steps. It's like, be faithful in those little steps in building what God wants you to build and then see what comes out of it. Because honestly, I always kind of wanted to write a book, but I got distracted along the way about, you know, doing medical school and other things that I wanted to do, which I share in the book. But I always had that desire, but I really didn't A, know where to start, and B, know if that's what God wanted me to do. And then after starting with this, with these things, with no intention of really writing a book, God started opening the doors. And that's when I'm like, okay, I guess He is, you know, moving from a place where I, you know, we started this like step by step and laid a foundation of a platform on Instagram and on the podcast here. And it's really cool how the Lord like continued that. And then publishers also saw that. So I appreciate that you kind of made that distinction in that, because I feel like it kind of pulls the curtain back for those listening. But
well, I was just thinking, you want to write on something that you're passionate about first thing, and then something that you're an expert on. And if you're not an expert, you become an expert in that area. So, cause like some writers will say, you know, they'll go to a publisher and say, what do you want me to write on? I can write on anything. Oh, we get that from pastors. We don't want you to write on anything. Publishers want you to write on what you're passionate about. And often they'll say, if you could only write one book, what would that one book be?
Wow.
And it has to be something very passionate about, because then that passion comes out in the book.
Absolutely. And I think it's just narrowing it down, because it can get too broad. And we even found that in Surrender Your Story, like just building a great plan and an outline just really helped the process. I'm getting ahead of myself, but let's jump into that now. What does the journey to publishing look like hand in hand with an agent? Where does it start? Where did you and I begin? Let's talk a little bit about from after that coffee date that we met up and we talked, and I had a little bit of an idea of what I wanted the book to be, because side note, I had gotten an email from a publisher, not the one I chose, but a publisher probably, I want to say September, maybe 4 or 5 months before Teresa and I actually met. I got an email saying, Tara, you should write a book with us. And I'm like, okay, I'm in the middle of getting married. It's a busy season. Let me circle back later. That's when I talked to Gretchen. That's when I'm like, okay, maybe this is something. And then Teresa and I met. And then from there, after we started to work together and we signed a contract for her to be my agent, that's kind of when the ball started rolling. And what was that first step of the process after that?
Well, it usually takes about 2 to 4 months to write a really good proposal. And it depends on where the author is. You know, you kind of knew what you wanted. It was your idea, you know, to write Surrender Your Story. And you knew, you came to me saying, I'm a recovering control addict. Or so we knew it was going to be on control and releasing control. And what's that look like? So when the author comes to me, kind of, they've got this passion, they've got this expertise, the proposal can go faster, but you really want to, an agent is actually your sounding board and your first time editor. And so they're editing you to make sure it's concise. And even though you're creative in the chapters, the rest of the proposal is really a business document. So an editor is coming along and making sure, or the agent is coming along and making sure that business document looks the best it can be, putting your best foot forward, putting your numbers, your platform, your marketing, getting it all put together. And so that takes about 2 to 4 months. And then, as you found out, because it is a slow process, then even it goes out simultaneously to all the Christian publishers at the same time. But then it can take 6 months. I mean, from signing the contract, you've got 6 months to finish the book, but then another 6 months to go through their editing process. and the printing process. So it can be a full year minimum from the time you sign the contract to your book coming out to the world.
I am not kidding you when I say that going to the grocery store with my toddler is a sight. Usually I'm in sweatpants, my hair is up in a claw clip, and I'm trying to make sure my son doesn't pull things off of the shelves. Yes, even when he's in a shopping cart. Then we spend so much time reading labels, walking through the store, sometimes walking around and around the store, just trying to get our groceries and save a buck. If you see me in the grocery store, no, you haven't. Now, don't get me wrong. Grocery shopping for me and my family is a blessing, and I don't want to take it for granted, but I surely don't want to make it harder and more stressful. I want to make it more intentional. Thrive Market has been our family's favorite app and online store over the last few months. This is why. They cut the fluff, and it helps me double down on what's really important on my grocery list. We love Thrive Market for healthy snacks because those are hard to find these days, such as Annie's Cheddar Bunnies, Chomp's Meat Sticks, and Yum Earth. They're amazing for pantry staples, baby products, and even cleaning supplies too. Plus, Thrive is on the ball for you, friend. They only allow trusted top quality ingredients and restrict 1,000 plus harmful ingredients like artificial flavors and high fructose corn syrup. You can have peace of mind with them. Save time and money and shop Thrive Market today. Go to thrivemarket.com/truthtalks for 30% off your first order, plus a free $60 gift. That's thrivemarket.com/truthtalks. thrivemarket.com/truthtalks. Visit drinkag1.com/truthtalks to get a free 1-year supply of their vitamin D3 K2 drops and 5 free AG1 travel packs with your first purchase. If you've ever wondered if AG1 is overhyped, listen up. 5 months ago, almost 6 months ago, I took my very first sip. Why? Well, I truly wanted a one-stop shop for supplements, vitamins, and nutrients. My cupboards were seriously overflowing and so disorganized with dozens of bottles of vitamins and all the things to take, which overwhelmed me and in turn made me not want to keep up with this habit, although I needed it. Turns out AG1 isn't overhyped in my eyes. Within literally 2 weeks of taking it every single day, I noticed it support my daily vitamin, minerals, pre and probiotic intake. I also felt less bloated throughout my cycle, which has been a problem, and more mentally clear from its adaptogens and less stress because it's so powerfully simple. One scoop mixed in water once a day, every day. I take it with some ice cubes every morning before I eat breakfast, and I seriously can't lie, I have gotten used to the taste and I love it. Friend, I know that I preach all the time about spiritual health here, but I want to encourage you to not neglect your mental or physical health either. You are a whole person. So AG1 is a supplement that I truly trust to provide the support my body needs daily, and that's why I'm so excited to welcome them as a partner. If you want to take ownership of your health today, it starts with AG1. Try AG1 and get a free 1-year supply of vitamin D3 K2 drops and 5 free AG1 travel packs with your first purchase exclusively at drinkag1.com/truthtalks. That's drinkag1.com/truthtalks. Check it out now. Yeah, and that's something that I didn't realize, and I think maybe a lot of people don't realize either about the publishing process, is that it takes a long time. So long. Like from the moment Teresa and I signed, or from the moment Teresa and I met, it was super close to being 2 years that the book came out from there, which is crazy. So I didn't realize that time that it took, but I keep telling people I'm so thankful that we spent the time on that proposal to really fine tune it. And you also sent it out at a very strategic time because there are seasons that, you know, publishers are more active and then they're more dormant. Just things like that were so helpful. And I think just really narrowing down not only the book content for the proposal, because you're laying out I describe it as a paper outline. Like you're just saying, here are the chapters, here's what I'm going to be covering, you know, pretty much. But then honestly, it's like you said, it's a business document where you put in the majority is like, here's my platform, here's my reach, here are the people that could help me share this book. Like it was a lot. And I'm pretty sure our proposal was over 30 pages, if not 40 pages, because it was not only the first two sample chapters, but it was just like pages on pages on pages of just everything. And it felt tedious and it felt like a grind in the middle of it. But I had so much of your help and you being a sounding board that I really believe it made it so strong. So then when we sent it out to the publishers, which is an advantage of having an agent too, because you have all the connections. But when we sent it out, like I felt super confident, no matter, like I wasn't sure the response, but I felt confident that we had done the best work there.
Yeah. In the proposal, you're also doing, you know, an annotated outline of the entire book.
Yeah.
And so as your agent, I did push you hard, Tara, right?
Yeah.
And I pushed
yeah.
you hard to really write out a couple of paragraphs on each chapter, like what is this book about?
Yeah.
So the editor knows, but then on the back end, did it make it easier for you to write the book because you already had the whole book outlined in your head, right? And on paper.
Yes, absolutely. And I have a lot of friends who are in this process and they have their own agents and things like that. But I told them, I'm like, okay, work on that annotated outline so hard. And if you can, at least for me, I know everyone writes differently. I'm like, but try to plan that in advance and have a good plan so that when you start writing, when you're the first day of your 6 month, you know, process starts of writing, that you can like have relative confidence and direction when you start writing, because you can get in the middle of it and be like, I don't know what I'm doing. I don't know what I'm writing. And you have quite a time crunch. And so for me, I love that we spent the time, because when I started writing, I like was able to go. And I know it's the Lord that also carried me, but I was just like, we prepared so well that I knew the content forwards and backwards. So I could look at my outline and be like, okay, this is what I'm typing for this chapter in this section. And like, it was just super helpful. And I also think that really translated into the excitement from publishers.
Yep. And then you got multiple book offers.
Yeah.
So you didn't just get one, you got multiple ones. And then that's what an agent is there to try. That's our ultimate goal, to get more than one book offer. So that gives you more options, more choices, and then you can take your pick from the various editors that you met.
Yeah. And, you know, we talked about this before. It's like you just need one, hopefully one really good one that you feel like you feel confident in, and you align with not only their theological beliefs, but just their stances on a lot of things. Like, you just need one. And I'm really thankful of the publisher I chose. But in the middle of it, it was really difficult to choose, because truthfully, could have gone with really anyone. But it really, for me, came down to who was my editor. And the reason why was because the editor is not just someone who reads your book and says, okay, that's fine. They are literally editing. They are picking through your book. They are adding things. They're getting rid of things. And obviously, their additions or their edits and anything they add or omit is suggestions, because it's ultimately your book, but they're the one that's either going to help you strengthen it or not. And I had to, like, that was my main factor in choosing the publisher that I did, because it was kind of this, I don't even know how to describe it. It was basically like me deciding between two. And I really thought about it. I'm like, okay, there's pros and cons. But the biggest thing that stood out to me was my editor and how theologically sound he was and how much more excited he was about this idea of surrender and control. And looking back, I'm so thankful I did, because he made the book what it is. And Teresa even knows, like, we started the proposal and the book is really, it stayed true to what my desire was, but it also changed a lot in the process, but like in the best ways.
Yeah. And I was impressed too, Tara, that some writers or authors will pick the highest advance that a publisher offers to them, you know, and you did not. And so mm-hmm. you picked kind of, you know, a mediocre one, or one in, kind of in the middle. And because you were going with the editor that you thought would make you the most theologically sound, that would come alongside you and be the best partner for you.
Yeah.
So I know you really took a hard look at all those editors and what they brought to the table. And I thought she made a very wise choice.
Oh,
and so as your agent, I can just give you the pros and cons of each one. But
right.
Ultimately, it is the author. It is you that makes the decision.
Right. And I am super thankful for that, just to have your sounding board and all of that. But it took me probably a month. I think it took us a month from the moment we had all the offers in to figure it out, because I'm like, this is a big decision. And sure, it was tempting to maybe go with the highest monetary offer, which when Teresa says advance, that's like usually what they offer you up front as far as payment. And sure, it was tempting and it probably would have been okay, but I'm glad we went with the direction we did, because it wasn't just okay. I think it really shows in the finished product and how much value there is in that, which, by the way, as the book has been out for over a week now, it's been really cool to hear from people, because they said, you know, it's so theologically deep and it's not just surface level, which is what I wanted, but they're like, it's a really comfortable. It's a really easy read. And I love that we found that balance. And I'm really thankful to Daniel, my editor, and then just us working as a team to be like, okay, like, because I didn't want it to read like a textbook, but I wanted it to have depth that really like promoted life change and stood to God's word. And I'm just really thankful that we're hearing that feedback.
I think that is great too. Yes, you did a great job, Tara, between storytelling and capturing them, you know, with a story and then just giving them biblical truths and pointing them back to Jesus. I thought you did a great job.
Yeah. So, okay, let's kind of quickly wrap up the journey. So obviously we are, not going to really spoil anything, but Teresa and I's work together is not done. Let me just say that we're still going. There's more after Surrender Your Story. But for this project, at least after I turned in my manuscript, which was a week before Hunter was born, by the way, after I turned that in, what did the rest of our relationship on Surrender Your Story look like? And what does it look like today? Like, because your job as an agent doesn't stop after, you know, it's handed off to the editor, like it continues. So briefly, what does that look like after the book was turned in and edited?
Well, I take a back seat when you're working with the editor, because I always tell writers and authors that, you know, I helped you edit your first two chapters, but then too many cooks in the kitchen, you know, spoils the recipe. So, and I don't want to be competing with your editor telling you something. So I bow out. But then I love to jump back in when the marketing calls take place and the cover design, because covers are so important. The title has to be right and the cover to grab someone's attention.
Right.
You want to be able, I tell people, like when someone's running through the airport and they glance at a bookstore or a rack of books, you want that to grab their attention, just the title and the cover alone. So I like to jump back into marketing calls. I like to be involved in that aspect. And so there is a lot, and you've been part of that. And they say even when the release of the book happens, which was just March 7th, that is really the beginning, right? It's not the end. Now you jump in and we've got to sell this book. We've got to get the word out about it.
Yeah.
So I don't know how many podcasts you've been involved in, Tara, but I know it's a lot, right?
I was trying to count them the other day and I'm like, I need to go back in my emails and see what they've laid out, because it's like so many. I think I have another one today. But I definitely agree. You took more of a backseat, but also in the way it was still really active. Like, you were copied on every email about PR and podcasts and marketing. And then you've been on every call. So really, I just like to say, like, not only I call people or I tell people that you're my book mom, just all encompassing, but then also just an advocate, right? So you were present there. We always have like a 20 to 30 minute call after our group calls with like the marketing team at Nelson, just for you to, you know, help me debrief and maybe even help me understand things that maybe I missed in the conversation. And so even though you were more silent, like still very there to support me and just explain the process, because it's still so new to me, you know. But that has been super helpful, and it just keeps going. And that's why I'm like, don't do it without an agent. Just don't do it.
Yes. And I remember, you know, some tight deadlines, like writing back cover copy, you know, I mean, we were like, oh my goodness, this needs to be changed or updated or bullets. And so, yes, I jumped in on the back cover copy.
Yeah.
I don't know what else that we had to do. Oh, there was all your incentives. So writing the incentives that go along with the marketing. You did a lot of that, Tara. You wrote, discussion guide. Did you write the discussion guide? And
the screensaver. So this was all for pre-order. If you have pre-ordered my book, so just creating all of that content, and then the back cover copy. When we say back cover copy, we mean literally just what's on the back of the book. What you'll see is the description, that first little glance. And what I loved about Teresa's help with that, it was me, Teresa, and Daniel, my editor, that we all, like, literally in an afternoon, we were on a pretty quick deadline. And we just in 3 hours, maybe total, if that, worked on writing that. And the reason why we worked together on that was because the three of us know the book more than anyone else does. And they have been the ones most involved. Daniel obviously has read the book. And at that point, Teresa hadn't really, but like she still knew the vision. And so to have people who knew it, just really backing me on that was helpful, because I don't know, like Teresa said, the job isn't done when the book is printed and ready. Like, it's just beginning. And so there's just so much that she helped throughout the process too. I'm super thankful for that. But moving along, maybe I'm putting you on the spot, but I know that you almost or have finished the book. Last week when I saw you, we were talking about this at the launch party. But if you had to choose a favorite chapter of Surrender Your Story, or one favorite chapter, what would it be and why?
Well, I thought this was an easy one because I'm a daddy's girl, and you mentioned yourself that you're a daddy's girl in your book. But it was God's resume, and it's on how do we trust God. And I loved the parallel that you came up with between knowing your earthly father here on this earth and just getting to know him, and you got to see his bad days and his good days. And as you watched your father here, and we all watch our earthly fathers, our daddies here, we learn to trust them. And and a child learns to trust their parent, that they're going to take care of them, that they're going to provide for them. And then you paralleled that to God's resume. And that as we get to know God deeper and we study him and we know his character and we see what he's done for us, then you can have this deep trust for the Lord, for God.
Yeah.
And I think it's hard. Maybe someone hasn't had a great relationship with their dad, and that's where it's kind of hard. I've talked to people that way. But here you have a perfect Abba Daddy. And what does that look like? So I pray and hope that people who haven't had a great father figure in their life can make this leap of faith, this jump. But I thought you did a great job of setting that up. And because I do totally believe, Tara, that as you get to know God, just like your motto, you will learn to love him more as you learn more about him. And then there's no other choice but to want to live your life for him.
Yeah.
And so I love how you do that. So that had to be one of my favorite chapters.
Oh, that's so fun to hear. I think that was one of my favorites too, because I was so excited to share that parallel, because something that struck me in the process was like, if you don't know God, if you believe like what the world says about God, if you believe, you know, their definition that's false, or if you just don't know anything about him, then how can you possibly trust him? Like, if I didn't know my dad, you know, or if he had proved to me over his life that he wasn't trustworthy and that he was just not kind, I wouldn't want to trust him. But through getting to know him and seeing his past and present and knowing his future trustworthiness, I'm like, okay, I can trust you with my life. I can trust you with that. And then to even to a greater scale about God. And so I think that's a really important part. I think I mention it all the time, and maybe people are getting tired of me saying it, but I just think it's so important, and we can't forget that piece, because practically people, I think we just want all these hoops and we want all these things. And it's like, actually just start in the Word and start getting to know God. I'm not saying it's going to make it super easy, but it's going to make it easier. It's still going to be hard to trust God, but in those moments of needing to trust God, you can kind of pause and take yourself back and be like, okay, who is God? Is he the same God that delivered the Israelites, passed them through that Red Sea? Is he the same God that sent his son to die for us? Like, I know him, and then I can trust him.
I agree. And maybe someone who's had a poor father figure, or a dad who hasn't kept his word, or they've been lied to. As you study the word, there's, you know, I've always heard there's one thing that God can't do, and he cannot lie, and he is faithful. Yeah. And so I feel like if anybody did a deep dive on the character of Jesus, and that Jesus said, when you see me, you see my Father, you know, that I and the Father are one. When you do a deep dive into who is Jesus and his character, you fall in love with him. And that's what I hope your book shows people, you to fall in love with God or Jesus, who represented God.
I love that. Yeah. In chapter 8, God's resume that Teresa was talking about, I think it's six or eight characteristics that we talk about the Lord. And again, there are books, I mean, not only just the Bible, but there are like standalone books that talk about God's character and like just uncover every single attribute of God. But I chose some of my favorites and some of the ones that have helped me really trust God more. So if you want just like a really brief summation of just a tiny bit of who God is to help you kind of start that journey of trust and surrender, that's what we do. So I love that you love that. Two last questions. One, if you don't mind sharing again, maybe one thing that God is teaching you to surrender and to trust Him with in your life right now, because we're just talking about this theme of surrendering our control and trusting God. So is there something that God is teaching you in your life to really let go and instead just let Him do?
Yeah. Many people may not know this, but I moved from my home state of Oregon, where I had been for 47 years, to a new city and a new state. So we moved to Eagle, Idaho. And my husband had been begging me to move for quite a while for various reasons, but more sunshine, drier weather was one of them. But anyway, I was dragging my feet and I did not want to go. And so finally I started praying to the Lord, okay, Lord, if you want me to go, you're going to have to show me, because I really don't want to leave all the friends and my associates, yeah. Everybody I knew was back in Oregon. But anyway, right. I said, okay, well, let's put the house up for sale and see what happens, because I thought it may not sell, you know, I don't know. But anyway, we did. We put our house up for sale, and 5 days later, we got a full cash offer and had to be out of our house in 20 days. So if that isn't the wow. Lord, Tara, I don't know what it is. So I feel like God just yeah. pushed me out of Oregon. And I surrendered. I just said, okay, Lord, my life is yours. Where I live is yours. I'm following the lead of my husband. And so yeah. I'm just trusting the Lord that I'm where He wants me to be. And so I'm still learning. I'm learning all the time.
Yes. And that's the thing about it. I love that. One of the first things Teresa and I talked about when we had this conversation about the book, before I even started writing, before we even got an offer, any of those things, Teresa was saying, you know, like, this is something that I am still learning too. And it's something you're going to learn from a very young age. It's something that you will learn until the day you die. And so I just love that it's so applicable across the board. And there's never nothing that we are perfectly like, that we perfectly have under control, or that we perfectly don't need any help for. We always need to depend on God and trust Him with something in our lives. So thank you for sharing that. I love that. It's super applicable even still. Okay, last question. We talked about this at the book launch party. Teresa came down from Idaho, by the way, to celebrate with some close friends and family. But we did a little conversation there. But last question. For those listening to the podcast, we have such a fun podcast family, such a supportive community, dedicated listeners. For those who want to go maybe a little bit more beyond listening and subscribing to the show to support not only the show, but to support Surrender Your Story, what would you maybe say? What's the best way to support an author once the book is out in the world? Not only from just an encouraging standpoint, but from a publishing standpoint.
We did talk about this, because I think the best thing, people who've read this book, who want to support you, who want to get the word out, is to leave a book review, especially on Amazon, because that's people's number one place where they go to order books. But it could also be right. at Barnes & Noble, Books A Million, wherever books are sold, if they could give a review. And it doesn't have to be long. So some people are intimidated by leaving a book review, but it could just be, great read, amazing book, loved this book. It could be one sentence. And that really goes a long ways, especially after you get like 50 reviews. I was telling you on Amazon, the algorithms change. And then when people are trying to search for a book on control or trusting God or whatever keywords.
Patience, whatever.
Exactly. That you're talking about in the book, that book will get higher in the search engines. It will pop up sooner when people are looking for that certain specific topic. So that's what I would encourage you to do. If people love Tara, that you love this book, you could leave a book review for her for Surrender Your Story.
Yeah, I love that you said that, because that's something I learned and something that now I'm like, okay, with my friends releasing books, I'm going to do this for them now more. So if you guys have read Surrender Your Story, even if you've read the first couple chapters and you've already been encouraged, you can still leave one. So just something so simple that would not only just encourage me, but actually help get this message out to more people, which is, you know, I can only do so much by myself, but together, you know, if we work together and just really, just keep it in mind that people are going to hear more of this or get more of this truth into their lives, I think it just is really helpful. So Before we close, I just want to remind people, if you haven't gotten a copy of Surrender Your Story, you can get it anywhere books are sold, Amazon, Barnes & Noble, Christian Book, all the places, or you can go to surrenderyourstory.com. I'll have everything linked in the podcast notes down below, so it's super simple for you to grab a copy. But yeah, grab your copy if this conversation was intriguing and exciting. And my prayer, Teresa's prayer, just our whole prayer over this book is that you would find freedom in knowing that you don't have to have it all under control and that that's actually okay. And you find the most purpose and fulfillment in your life when you trust God and that He's worthy to be trusted with your story. So Teresa, thank you for being here and giving your time. It's always a joy and I'm so glad you could be here.
Thank you, Tara. It's been so much fun. It's always fun talking to you. Thank you.